Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy.
Hello. What up? Hold on, I gotta swap out my...
Oh, what are you doing?
Yeah, I got some headphone issues.
Rob's gotta do some swapping.
Pay no attention to your stalling board time.
Now this confirms it.
This one out.
Pay no attention to a stalling board time.
I'll just watch some Rays and Astros batting practice. Is that the one? Is that the swap?
God, the audio is so clear.
He's feeling it.
It's like ASMR in my ears, my earbuds. The sizzle. It's Ropp and Souk. What's up?
Hey.
But you probably already knew that.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so. At this point, if I'm walking in and I don't know that it's you and me, then we've got issues. It means I've been hitting the head one too many times.
It's our Friday, guys.
It is our Friday.
No show Friday.
I'm feeling energized.
It's your Friday.
Oh. Sorry, Mike.
I didn't think you had to work. I asked you if you had to run the game. You said no.
No, I'm doing Dirt and Sprague tomorrow.
Oh.
I do Dirt and Sprague
because,
all the time.
Because Swag is taking tomorrow off.
Oh, is he still doing a Summer of Swag thing, but into the fall?
No, he's just taking tomorrow off.
I saw him in the hallway, and like, nothing about Swag should surprise me anymore, but he fascinates me every so often. He's wearing like a golfing outfit sort of thing, and it's all free giveaway clothing because we know Swag loves giveaway clothing. So he's wearing like a Portland Pilots like zip-up sort of thing, like a golf jacket, and then like a fan... polo shirt and then like a golf hat. That's
free,
a giveaway.
free.
Yeah.
All free.
We do have high school football tonight, so we could be dressing up for that.
Oh. Wait, Thursday night high school football?
Yes.
Yeah, because tomorrow is like an in-service thing, right? Because my kids don't have school tomorrow.
Just doing the game today because there's the Ducks game tomorrow, but some games are today. I think there are still some games tomorrow.
I think there's an in-service thing, so I think there are some high school games being played tonight. I know there is over in Clark County. So anyway, Swag is completely decked out in free gear, and then he's wearing like the standard golf shorts, and then I scan down, and Swag's wearing like old school, like Patrick Ewing, like high tops, like not mid-level, like I meant to do this sort of thing. Like I need ankle support. Like he's afraid of rolling something when he's out at the Hillsborough Stadium or whatever. I just haven't seen a pair like that in 25 years. I mean, it kind of, and he's got the really thick, like, gym socks to go along with it, like mid-calf. It really threw me for a loop. I was like, maybe it's in style now. Maybe retro is the thing.
He wears the same thing he wore in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's so retro now that he's in style.
Oh.
I mean, it's come all the way full circle.
It's possible.
Like, if you went in his closet and tallied up all the money he paid for everything that he owns, how much do you think it is? Like, I bet he bought shirts for like $5 in 1983.
Probably.
He wears them.
I'm guessing there's a suit that he spent.
No,
you know,
he doesn't have a suit.
He's got a suit. He wears it to like the NFL draft
party. Yeah, he's Roger Goodell in a
suit.
Yeah.
He does have one suit.
But I'll tell you what, I'll bet you that's like a per diem thing where like with the Portland Pilots.
You think he rents it?
just for those. I bet you the Portland Pilots, like when we did TV, you know, they would give us a couple shekels to buy like a sport coat or something. So I don't know if he bought that suit. I'm going to put the total value of the closet, $375.
$375?
$375 bucks total in the closet.
Give me the under.
You take the under?
Dude, a lot of that stuff he got free.
Yeah, but I'm saying that there's got to be some stuff he paid for, like, you know, not those high tops, I'm guessing. But it kind of threw me for a loop. I just haven't seen those. And I was like looking at him. I was like, are you going to go play a pickup game? He's like, no, I'm going to do high school football. And then that was his explanation. I was like, what are you going to roll an ankle climbing the steps? I mean, it was like built-in ankle support. It was the olds needed.
Was there extra cushion around the ankles too?
Yes.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what those are like.
Yes. Like, the, you know, because you've got normal high tops. You see like Jordan 1s. You see. No, I'm
right.
telling you.
So you don't sprain your ankle, but also you don't cut your ankle if you run into a wall or something.
Yes. These things are a good solid 3 to 4 inches above the ankle. Like you could take them out into the outback, like in case there's a snake bite. Nothing is penetrating that. Swag will not roll his ankle doing high school football tonight. I can guarantee that.
Hey, I got to direct you to Big Sook's Minute for today.
Yeah, we got a special guest.
Yeah,
finding
we have
some real talent around here.
We have a famous P1, another famous P1 who has stopped by today. And it's the great John Bertrand who's in there with his caregiver, Katie. And they're in there with Mike. And John's a big P1. He loves the station, or I think he loves the show, at least I think. He tolerates us.
Yeah.
And he emails me from time to time. He's like, hey, I want to come down. And we've been trying to get it together where he comes down. So his caregiver, Katie, brings him down today. And what do I find out about John Bertrand? The great P1, John Bertrand.
Yankee,
what do I find out?
Yankee fan.
He's an effing Yankee fan.
I liked everything about
Hell
John
yeah.
right up until that point.
He's an effing Yankee fan.
True story.
I also enjoyed, too, that
And he's not even from there.
No. John couldn't have been more fired up to be here, and then Katie is caregiver?
Yeah, she doesn't
wow.
care.
The disgust and the indifference on her face.
She just eye-rolled.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Oh, believe me, I felt the wrath of the eye-roller, too, when we were doing the primetime
look,
minute.
You nailed it in the primetime minute. Yeah. It's that John, like, this is our listener right here.
Yes.
John, the guy, yeah. loves it. And then you pan over to the wife, caregiver, girlfriend, any female involved with that male
yeah.
tolerates and has to listen to because that guy likes it.
Yeah.
So, and then every once in a while we get the wife or girlfriend or whatever that says, oh, you know, actually, I have actually kind of grown to like you guys.
Yeah, it's like a fungus. We grow on you. Like, you don't realize that we're there. We're like shower, like soap scum, right?
But most of the time, it is, as Katie gave us, a giant eye roll. And it's like, oh, God, you're the guys I listen to every day because my husband listens to you. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're happy to have John here. And he's watching the show for a bit here with Katie. And
she did confirm that's 100% true, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah, we know.
We've been doing this enough.
Yeah, we get it.
I can
Thanks,
tell
Katie.
When we meet someone and they're excited and then we meet the other right next to it. Yeah, it's not like she hid her disdain either, followed up by this. I know nothing about sports.
Woo.
Really, Katie? I couldn't gather that from your dead-eye stare at me. Jeebus.
She's blushing. Well, anyway, she does like 99.5 The Wolf.
Ow!
I found out. We took a tour of that, and
well,
she was like, oh, yeah.
Well, I hate to tell her this, but there's a rumor that Tim Taylor's been murdered.
What?
Have you seen Tim Taylor? It's been like months.
Oh, he does mornings on the Buzz.
No one's seen him. Well, that's one rumor. The other rumor is that he's been murdered.
Does anybody listen to the Buzz?
I don't know.
Can anybody confirm that the Buzz has Tim Taylor on in the mornings? Text 55305.
As far as I know, I'm going with the hot rumor. One, that Mike is pregnant, or should I say his significant other is pregnant. I've heard that. And then the other is that, Tim's missing and presumed dead.
The only thing I know about this radio station or these radio stations right now,
yeah, the cluster,
is that Gustav is indeed alive and he is in there.
Yes.
Because John and Katie and I took a tour of the facilities.
Yeah, Gustav's great.
Gustav's awesome. Iris may be dead because she's apparently on her shift, but she wasn't in there on KGON. Mm-hmm. There's no one in 105.1 The Buzz.
No.
Like I said, I don't even know if that's, I mean, does that station exist? And then 97.1, there's never anyone in there.
Well, I think...
And there was no one in 99.5, right? Like, the only DJ we saw was Gustav.
Well, I'm pretty sure that 97, Charlie, I think that's Calculon. I think that's the world's greatest robot actor / DJ. I think he runs that station. As far as The Wolf goes, I don't know. We have no idea where Tim Taylor's at.
We have... our listeners are great.
Yeah.
We have roving reporters on the street that report all the big news about celebrities in town back to us.
Yeah.
And we are getting reports that Tim Taylor, his taxi driver has texted in.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has a personal cab driver,
but I assume so. He was a big deal.
Taylor, I don't know why he doesn't take Uber, but his taxi driver has said that he's in Cabo because he took him to the airport.
He was in Cabo, but again.
He's always in Cabo.
That could just be someone spreading that story to make us believe he's not dead.
Or is it?
Yeah, but that's insider info because who else knows Tim always goes to Cabo?
Are you trying to tell me that Tim didn't die in Cabo? Because again,
I will say I just saw on Facebook Tim Taylor posting pictures from Cabo.
Yeah, he's in Cabo.
However,
man. He's always in Cabo.
That could be scheduled pictures posted by the murderer. Who knows?
Look, a good point. A lot of rumors swirling around right now. I'm not here to say what's true and what's not. If you want to believe that there is a baby Lynch on the way, I say go for it. If you want to believe that Tim Taylor's dead, I say besides Tim and his family, who does that hurt? Oh, keep believing what you believe.
Yeah, this guy says he's Tim Taylor's personal valet. It's good to be on FM.
Must be nice.
Well, all right, we should get rolling here. We've got a lot to do today because no show tomorrow. The reason we don't have a show tomorrow is because the Ducks play the Colorado Buffaloes. Mm-hmm. On Friday and not Saturday. No. You didn't know that, did you?
I did know that.
Well, I'm not saying you. I'm just a, you know, we have an audience.
The royal we, the editor. John, well, John knew. Katie, his caregiver, did not know. In a stunning development, she does not care that Oregon is playing
probably,
Friday.
She's
Saturday.
Probably happy. She's like, great. I don't have to listen to their dumbasses tomorrow. So, so we've got to squeeze in, set your DVR, which we will do.
Yep.
College football, 5:15.
Not a bad little week.
Not a bad little weekend.
No.
That's one of the better weekends. I mean, it's been kind of lame up until now.
We have not had a lot of big-time games, no.
We will make our amazingly great NFL picks against the spread at 4, our pro football challenge. That'll be at the top of the hour.
Time to fade Rop.
I think at the bottom of the hour, Clayton Kershaw will give up yet another home run.
And yeah, let's start there. We've got some baseball to talk about.
Dodger fan.
I love
maybe Dave Roberts will make another questionable bullpen decision.
The playoffs are just so good. They're just so good.
Yeah.
You just never know, man.
Yeah. Let's go back, I don't know, let's say 3 months, and who had the Cardinals and the Nats for the pennant?
That's what I picked, right?
Yeah, I think
don't
so.
Don't you have the tape? Can you pull the tape?
Yeah. When the Nationals were, 12 games out of first?
Well,
whatever it was?
I think we have the tape. Hold on. Here it is. I think it is. Yeah, I've got the Cardinals and the Nationals in the NLCS. Oh, that was dated. Oh, yeah. That was from, oh my God, that was from June.
Must have been someone else that I heard like literally
a week.
Did
you hear that tape? I just played it.
It was amazing, but I must have been thinking of someone else.
I didn't hear it. You want to play it one more time?
Yeah. Okay, wait, hold on. Here we go. I'm going to hit play.
You got to rewind it.
Yeah. I've got the Cardinals and the Nationals in the NLCS.
Good thing we held on to that one. Yeah,
and the fart was in there.
Maybe it was Mike then that
that's how you know it's legit.
A week ago said, hey, I've seen the Cardinals. They're not any good. And I remember someone on this program saying that the Cardinals weren't any good like a week ago.
Yeah, that was Mike. He's an idiot.
God, Mike.
But he's a Yankee fan.
And pregnant.
Yankee fans are idiots. Oh.
What? Was I not supposed to say that?
John's like, John looked at me like, what the hell? Sorry, John. No. All right, let's get to going here. Let's start with the Major League Baseball playoffs from last night. And that is the subject of our AAA heating and cooling poll question.
That's painful. If you're a Dodger fan. Mm. I'm not even a Dodger fan, and I felt bad for Clayton Kershaw.
It is 3:13. This is The Fan.
Bro.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
I'll have you know I'm protesting today's AAA heating and cooling poll question.
No Will Darkins?
No, he's on there.
Okay.
But... He has bastardized the choices.
Wow, what do we got?
He's done this twice now. I'm not happy about it. Our AAA heating and cooling poll question at 1080thefan.com. Family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. That's AAAIAQ.com. Yesterday we asked you what the NBA should do about China. 57% of you said cease all operations in and with China. And 21% said send fan diplomat Will Darkins.
Well, seems to make sense. I mean, if you can't get Dennis Rodman, go with the great Will Darkins.
Today, what team's sporting failures do you delight in most? Now, this, of course, is playing off of the fact that the Dodgers lost in dramatic fashion last night.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people root against the Dodgers, right?
Do they?
I think they do. Yeah, I think, you know, big brands like the Dodgers, Lakers, Yankees, Cowboys.
I don't know why it is, but I don't have the hatred for the Dodgers like I have for the Yankees. I don't mind the Dodgers.
I don't either.
Plus, like, they haven't won one since 88, so it's, you know, can you really hate the Dodgers? It's a great stadium, good-looking unis.
So here's who I had on the list, because see, what happens is I have to send this to Will and then Will posts it.
Sure.
So I had, what team sporting failures do you delight in most? I put the Dodgers, the Ducks, the Yankees, the Patriots, the Huskies, the Cougs, the Cowboys, and the Lakers, or anything Will Darkins enjoys.
All right, I like it.
Now, he did keep that answer, anything Will Darkins enjoys, and all he put on the poll was Ducks, Beavers, Cowboys, Dodgers.
That's it?
Yeah, which I think is weird.
It's a bit strange.
But that's what he did. So
you only put five options. Maybe he doesn't have that many options.
That's possible.
That may be right, I thought there were other questions where we had multiple.
I feel like
maybe not.
I feel like there may be a limit to what you can put on there.
Well, maybe he should tell me that, and then we'll limit it.
Yeah, instead of him doing the editing for you.
Tomorrow I'm going to do 27 options.
Seems a bit much, but all right. Plus, we don't have a show tomorrow, so you're not going to do a poll.
I'm not going to do anything tomorrow.
Mine would be Yankees 1, and I'm going to say
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And I would say Duke basketball 2.
Oh, Duke, that's a good one. I should put that on there.
Yeah, not Duke football. I don't have
not
any.
That it would have made the poll.
Yeah, I should have told him theoretically that. Yes. He would have not put it on there.
But Yankees baseball, Duke basketball are probably my 1-2 as far as hate watching goes.
Say that again.
Yankee baseball.
Okay.
Duke basketball probably 1-2.
Okay.
That because there's other teams that I may dislike depending on year to year and who's there, but I do not believe I have ever rooted for a Yankee team or a Duke basketball team, and I can't.
Was it last year or 2 years ago you said that the Yankee team was likable?
No, I did not say that.
Let's go to the tape.
If we check the tape, I would say that this squad
is... Hey, it's me, Big Suit. The Yankees are likable.
I said they were less hateable than previous versions because they were more homegrown.
And you said you kind of enjoyed watching them play.
I said they were fun.
Let's go to the tape.
And then because of Doucher Yankee fan...
Hey, it's me, Big Suit, and I really love them.
I went right back to hating them. And then they got Stanton, and it's a whole thing. So, no, I hate the Yankees.
See, they traded for Stanton.
Whatever.
Everyone hates the Yankees.
Yes.
Except for John Bertrand and Mike Lynch.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would be. Now, do you hate the Lakers at all?
Nah, I don't hate the Lakers. I liked Matt. Like, when I was growing up here, I know it was weird, but I liked, obviously, like, I grew up with the, you know, Terry Porter, Drexler, that squad, but. Magic Johnson, James Worthy, I didn't have a problem with the Lakers. Like, when I was growing up, that was, like, the best thing on TV, watching the Lakers and the Celtics. So I don't have a hatred for L.A. I think it's funny when they fall on their face because the Lakers think that it's their God-given right to win NBA titles. So I can find them to be insufferable in their fans. So I'm not going to say I like the Lakers, but there's not a hatred the way that I despise the Yankees or Duke.
All right, well,
the Braves would probably be on that list for me.
Yeah, but they're not in there for everyone else. Last night, if you shut it off, which you may have, because I mean, even though it was a pretty close game, Walker Buehler and the Dodgers were in control. They scored early. They were up early. It's like 3-0, and it's like, you know, Dodgers are better. They probably got this, right?
Yeah.
But if you didn't see it, the Dodgers or the Buehler gave up one in the sixth, or maybe it was the fifth or sixth, and then they pulled him in the seventh. And Clayton Kershaw comes in, gets a big strikeout, 3-1 going into the bottom of the seventh. All is fine with the Dodgers.
Yes.
They got Kershaw, and then they got Kenley Jansen. And Kershaw comes out the next inning and gives up back-to-back home runs on back-to-back pitches to Rendon and Soto, who are low-key superstars. I mean, you know, not a lot of people could pick them out of a lineup or even name them.
Well,
but
it might be an MVP this year.
They've been doing that all year.
Yeah.
And they go back-to-back on back-to-back pitches, which is funny because – for Clayton Kershaw, he has never given up back-to-back home runs on back-to-back pitches in the regular season.
I saw this on Twitter last night because I was at the movies, and so I'm kind of following along, right? Like, I got the phone out, and you're doing the
scroll. Did you pull up the game? Are you watching the game?
Yeah, I'm watching the game, right? And so it's like...
what did we do in 1980?
I don't know.
You know?
The best part is, so I got the...
We didn't even have DVR. We had to record with, like, a VCR. I mean, what is this?
So you got the movie up, and then down below, I can put the screen and then get the Twitter feed going, too, scrolling through. And so to see that unfold, and they had that, like, right after the second one, they said that he's never done it. And it was at the third time he's done it in the postseason?
Second time he's done it in the postseason.
So it's never happened in the regular season with him.
And we found this out last night. The first time, it was against two nobodies, too. It was against the Diamondbacks. It was Ketel Marte, who's great now, but was bad 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And Jeff Mathis hit home runs off of him in back-to-back pitches for the Diamondbacks. Yeah. They wound up winning that series. But
at least this is two studs, but at the same time, it cost. Well, it didn't cost you the series, but
no. No, they blew it later.
That was Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
Insert,
Dave Roberts putting in Joe Kelly, after Kenley Jansen, and then keeping him in for two innings for some reason.
Was Joe Kelly the worst offseason signing? They paid him all that money, and he is not good.
He wasn't great. I would say that he got better later in the year. He mowed him down in the ninth. Mm-hmm. He struck out the side, I think, in the ninth. So here's what happened. So
they were swinging at everything.
So Kershaw gives up the home runs, and they pull Kershaw, and they bring in Maeda, who's just fantastic. Oh, no, he's the one that struck out the side. He strikes out the next three batters, so it's now 3-3. And then they go to Joe Kelly, and that's where controversy hits because a lot of people thought that they should just go with Kenley Jansen because the eighth inning, or go Maeda one more inning. But they went with Joe, and then Joe Kelly, or maybe Maeda pitched –
Kelly pitched the ninth and the tenth.
I know, but maybe Maeda pitched the eighth. And then in the ninth, they bring in Joe Kelly, not Kenley Jansen. Everybody's freaking out about it. Well, Joe Kelly does great. And they get to the 10th inning, and Joe Kelly goes back out there. And that's when all hell breaks loose. He walks a guy and then gives up, a double, I think, and then an intentional walk, and then a grand slam, which that means all four runs score.
Yeah.
And 7-3, Nationals win. It was unbelievable. And so we are sitting here bashing Kershaw because, he gave up the two runs to tie it. But Dave Roberts taking a lot of heat because what the hell is Joe? You know, you lose a game in 10 innings and Kenley Jansen never pitches.
Nope. This was kind of like, I guess it's not the same thing. Because it's not like Kenley Jansen is not the same player he was a couple of
years
ago. Jansen
pitched. He brought him in after Joe Kelly gave up the grand slam. It's like, oh, now it's time when we're losing by four to bring in Jansen.
That's right. He did come in there.
Were you saving him for a save situation? There isn't one. You're at home. There is no save situation.
Robert said he liked the way Kelly pitched the ninth. And I can see that. I mean, Kelly pitched really well in the ninth. And the thing about that is, too, that if Jansen pitches an inning, you probably only given him one inning.
Yeah.
If you get on the back side of that, who are you going to? So he's thinking, okay, well, if Kelly's pitching this well, maybe I can squeeze another inning out of him. And then because all bets are off. We've seen those games. The Royals and Mets played in the World Series with those games that go so long that now it's a battle of what crappy arm is going to be better than the other crappy arm.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, our crappy arm, Chris Young, beat your crappy arm, Bartolo Colon.
The way I view it though is, why not save Maeda and Kershaw for that time in the game?
Right.
You don't trust your bullpen, right? Baez hasn't been pitching very well. Jansen's been kind of iffy all year, but those are your best relief guys. Bring them in when you're up by two late in the game. That's their role, not Kershaw's role, by the way.
And if you struck out the side.
Yes. If you do blow the game and you need to get into extra innings, guess who can eat six innings for you? Oh, a starting pitcher that you just used for both of them.
He certainly could have gone to that lefty whose name I can't remember.
Adam Kolarik.
Kolarik, who's gotten Soto out. He's in there specifically to get Soto out, and he's gotten him out every time he's faced him. And he did not put Kolarik in there for Soto, and Soto's just been on fire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mike's exactly right. They could have easily they said, why go to Kershaw when you could have gone to, let's see, what was he saying? He was saying Baez gets righties out. Righties hit like 175 against Baez. So you throw him against Rendon. You bring a lefty in for,
Soto.
Yeah, and then you have a little bit of a bridge to gap. Maybe Maeda, maybe Kershaw, but probably Jansen.
But you could not. I mean, it's not like Kershaw can say no in that situation, but did anyone have any sort of faith? I saw so many people, the moment Kershaw was coming out of the pen, they're like, ball game, it's over.
Like Dodgers win or Dodgers lose?
No, Dodgers lose.
Really?
Like there was a I believe Dodger faithful and everyone else all joined together to collectively be like, oh God, this is happening. Within 30 seconds of him giving up those home runs, they had made the Joker poster. Had redone it in Clayton Kershaw's face with the makeup on, but instead of Joker, it said Choker.
Yeah, see, I...
And then the photo of him, like the Jordan... They didn't even need the Jordan crying meme anymore. He used to have Clayton Kershaw's face.
Well, he started crying. He did. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
But he was crying, which is... It's sad. I mean, like, that dude has been
on
so good.
On the mound
good.
He was? I didn't see
no,
that.
No. After.
After.
Okay.
The pitching coach came up to him and said, hey, man, bad stuff happens.
Nope.
It's playoffs. Keep your head up. And he just started bawling. But, and I don't know if there's video of that, but that was in the game story about Dave Roberts that I was reading. So let's talk about him. Let's come back and talk about him, can we?
Yeah. And can we talk about the MVP, Joe Kelly, who's ended the Dodger season 2 years in a row now? Way to go, Joe Kelly.
Yeah. And he's, well, I guess I feel bad for him too. I don't know. Anytime a team loses like that, you're like, ooh, boy. That's brutal.
I legitimately felt bad for Clayton Kershaw.
Is Kershaw all that bad in the playoffs? Let's talk about that next. And then after that, we've got a shamed. This is for the archives. They will call the segment after our next segment. They will call it Shamed College Football Coaches segment.
Oh, well, this is fun.
It involves Chip Kelly and Art Briles.
I saw Art's back at it again.
It's kind of off the chain.
He can't help himself.
Can you guys shut up?
Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, next segment will be titled Shamed College Football Coaches.
Hey, will you shut up?
Can you guys shut up?
But one more baseball segment here. How bad do you feel for Kershaw? So Kershaw, his regular season ERA is 2.44.
Yeah. He's one of the best pitchers of the modern era.
He has won 3 Cy Youngs. He even won an MVP. He is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But he is 9-11 with a 4.33 ERA in the postseason.
That's not horrific on its own, but it certainly isn't him in the regular season, and he has failed in multiple big moments.
Yeah, so here's a list of things you may or may not remember. Game 7, 2013 NLCS against the Cardinals. Game 7, he gave up 7 runs in 4 innings.
Yeah.
Game 1, DS, the very next year, they were up 6-2 on those very same Cardinals, and he gave up 8 runs.
Yeesh.
They gave him a 6-2 lead, and he gave up 6 in, I think, the 6th of the 7th. Game 6 of the NLCS 2016, this is against the Cubs, he pitched, he started that game, huge game, he gave up 5 runs in 5 innings. And then game 5 of the World Series in 2017, he gave up 4 runs in 4 innings, even though he was spotted a 4-0 lead. He gave it up.
Yeah.
And then last year, he gave up 9 runs in 11 innings pitched in the World Series and took 2 losses in games 1 and game 5 of the World Series against the Red Sox.
Well, and then in this year, in the division series, he took the loss in game 2 and... we didn't have the loss in this one, but he certainly gacked away the lead with back-to-back homers, something he's never done in the regular season. This will haunt him. And at this point, honestly...
Well, back-to-back pitches.
He will not ever live this down. It's getting harder as he gets older, and he even said it. He talked about it. He said, this one's on me. He goes, this one hurts, and I get it. I can't change that narrative. And you could just see the look of defeat on his face. He can't change it. I mean, minus him pulling a Madison Bumgarner and just single-handedly winning a World Series. And look, we know at this point in his career, he's not the same pitcher. Even if the Dodgers go on and win a World Series with him still being a part of it, he's no longer the ace there. He's no longer the game one starter. He's not the guy that you can go to in clutch situations. And that's why a lot of people are like, really, Dave Roberts, that's what you decided to do? Go to a guy that has big failure after big failure, and you're bringing him out of the pen? But supposedly he wasn't feeling that good to begin with, said he couldn't throw his slider. So, yeah, this one will be a stain on his career. It's a hell of a career. It's a Hall of Fame career, but this will haunt him. And there's guys that are like this. Bonds has a different sort of stain. But before Bonds had the monster World Series, was that against the Angels, right?
Yeah.
And they ended up losing. But up until that point, Bonds had been a playoff failure.
Yeah, but I'm looking through Kershaw's game log, and this narrative is fully – he's deserving of it, no question. He knows it. We all know it. But you look through his game log, he's got some gems, some playoff gems. Like last year against the Braves. 8 innings, 2-hit shutout in game that looks like that was game 2 of the NLDS.
Yeah, I remember there's been a time or two over the last couple of years where people are like, okay, the monkey's off his back. And you're like, no, because they don't win the World Series. And then he continues to do this.
2 great starts in the 2017, actually multiple great starts in the 2017 postseason. He's known for the one I just mentioned. But he... that year, he had three great starts in a row against the Cubs, and then one against the Astros in the World Series. He won two of the three starts. Yeah. He was 3-0 in that postseason in 2017, even though one of his starts was a dud that I mentioned. But, you know, so he definitely has his moments, but it certainly his last, I mean, one, two, three, four, his last four outings have been horrible.
Well,
World Series last year, two losses, and then the loss in game two of the NLDS and the loss. Well, actually, he didn't take the loss. He blew a save last night. That's 0-3 with a blown save and what, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14 runs given up in his last four playoff outings.
Yeah. When you think of, and again, let's just stick with modern day because let's go with our time frame. Let's say 80s on, and you think of pitchers that choke, David Price, the only other one that really jumps to the forefront of your mind? Because to me, it's either Kershaw or Price. Well, take your pick.
I don't know about – I just hate the term choke, but call it what you will. I know what you mean.
If it's dominant pitchers that in a big
just not
game,
as good.
You don't want anything to do with, those are the two names, and that's never going to change. And Price has been a part of a World Series team, and yet you're still going to have that. I don't want David Price with the ball in his hand in a big moment.
Yeah, I can't really think of another one, but
so that's not good when your name is associated with that.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I feel bad for the guy.
I looked through here a list of the best players that have had really no postseason success, and
there's, who is it?
They've got. Let's see here, scrolling down. Dave Winfield struggled.
Alex Rodriguez.
They got A-Rod on here. They got Jim Thome on here. They got Teixeira on here.
Is this because they didn't get, well, Teixeira and A-Rod got there, but is this some to have
no,
to do with?
This is just individual.
No, I know, but does it have to do with the fact that they didn't get there much? Some of these guys, or it's like you have to have a certain level of postseason ABs or appearances or whatever.
This is just that I just found a list and then it goes through and most of these people do have multiple appearances. I don't know if there's like a cutoff, but it's. Mike Schmidt had bad postseasons. Mm.
Willie Mays.
Mays had bad postseasons. Oh. I'm looking here. He made five trips to the postseason. Never had a memorable moment to his credit. One home run during those the times. He hit 182.
Damn. I didn't know that.
Only
about him.
Six extra base hits in five trips to the postseason.
Sweet Willie.
It doesn't stick to Willie Mays. Kershaw's on here. Gooden's on here.
Yeah, look at that. Postseason batting, Willie Mays, 247. One home run in 99 plate appearances.
Said 182. Oh, that was against the Yankees.
Yeah,
in
that
the
was
World Series.
One series.
That was one series against the Yankees in the. In
but
the
he
World
didn't
series.
Do much. I mean, he had 99 plate appearances, 247, one home run, 10 RBI.
Yeah, six extra base hits. They got Bonds on here. They got Biggio on here. Bagwell. I mean, it's a pretty good look. Dwight Gooden, Joe Morgan, Jake Peavy, Tony Perez.
Jake Peavy.
Yeah, they got Jake Peavy on here. Jake Peavy won a Cy Young.
Have all four division series road teams ever advanced in the same year?
That I don't know.
Because that could happen if the Rays win.
But I think the last five road teams have won game fives in the division
series.
Well,
we had that stat yesterday.
Yeah.
28 game five division series games. The road team has won 19 of the 28.
By the way, real quick, I know we scrolled over it, but let me read you Jake Peavy's line. So he won a Cy Young, and he made 9 playoff starts. His ERA is 7.98. He's 1-5. Let's see here. 53 hits over 38 innings, 17 walks in the process, and over 3 World Series starts, 9.58 ERA.
Damn.
Including 2 losses in the 2014 series with the Giants.
Wow.
He basically has a 10 ERA in 3 World Series starts.
Oh, that was a series where the Royals just murdered him. That's a little misleading in that I'm looking at his game log here. Back when he was young with the Padres, he still sucked.
That is putrid.
But when he was with the Giants in that World Series, he was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible. Yeah. And they had to run him out there. Their pitching just wasn't that good that year. But they still won the World Series because of Madison Bumgarner. But
that thing's ugly.
But yeah, you go all the way back to his first few starts: 8 runs, 5 runs, 1 run, 7 runs.
Yeah,
damn, dude,
it's not good.
All right. Well, anyway, I feel bad for Kershaw. I don't know if you do, but
I do. I like Kershaw. I always thought he's been a class act.
Yes, absolutely.
I would like to, like, I'm not a Dodger fan. I wasn't pulling for the Dodgers, but I would have liked to have seen them win one to get the monkey off Kershaw's back. And I hope at some point he does get one and actually plays a role. Like, I don't want Kershaw to get one at the end when he's a, you know, when he's their fifth starter.
When he's an old.
Yeah.
Like a ring chaser in the NBA.
Yeah. How old is Kershaw? He's got to be, what?
35?
He's getting up there. So you wonder, honestly, how many more years he has of being, I don't know, he's only 31.
Oh, all right. Well, he's certainly a different pitcher than he was, but yeah. he can be there for a while. Yeah.
He's also been figuring it out. I mean, this year he's thrown way more curveballs than he has in the past.
He was good this year.
Well, he's adjusting. You watch him, like, his fastball is only in the low 90s, sometimes even in the high 80s.
Well, the Soto home run was an 89-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah. And I heard a bunch of people saying that when if you're only throwing 89 and your slider isn't that much different.
Well, his slider that Rendon hit was 89.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not going to fool anybody.
No.
Might fool me, but.
Yeah, I think it would fool me too.
I'd probably go down swinging.
It is amazing, like, when we hear 89 and you're like, go step in a cage sometime and turn it up to 89.
Right. And that's their off speed.
See how fast that gets there.
All right. Shamed college football coaches. Chip Kelly, Art Briles edition next. 344 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's a little bit of funny before we get into our very serious NFL picks, which is next segment. Let's see if I can find it. Damn it. There we go. All right. So have you seen this on, this is on Craigslist.
Yeah, this is the Chip Kelly thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Craigslist guy, are you? I bet you are. You're a man who loves a deal. I bet you scour Craigslist often.
No, I don't buy things off Craigslist. I've sold some things on Craigslist. But now that they have, like, OfferUp, I've kind of moved on to,
you know what I've heard?
To that a bit.
So when I was doing stuff, when we were selling our house and I was giving away gobs of very famous and expensive things.
Sure.
I would put them on OfferUp. And I would always ask people if they were somewhat cool. Like, hey, what do you think of, like, because these people are all over OfferUp. Like, they have algorithms and, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I know the basics of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to some guys who are like, oh, yeah, let's just set your search criteria, and then it will just pop into your inbox when you see something that matches your criteria. And then it's like, God, what? Anyway, I talked to them about Craigslist versus OfferUp mm-hmm. and the apps, like Let It Go or whatever.
Sure.
And they said that they thought OfferUp kind of sucked because Craigslist is more the serious buyers, because you have to email and, like, interact.
OfferUp,
you can just say, hey, I'm interested.
And then no one ever shows up.
And they never freaking follow up.
I'm with you on that. But no, I sell more stuff like that than I do buy anything. I suppose, like, if you're looking for, like, I don't know, like, yard furniture or something, you can go on there. I don't know if you're looking for, like, a hot tub. But for the most part, I don't find that there's a lot of great deals to be had out there on something. Most of the stuff on there is, you know, dicey at best.
Well, this is a great deal.
Yeah, it is a great
deal. This is from Craigslist, and it's located in Westwood or Pasadena. Take your pick. $9 million, okay? This is what it would cost.
Seems like a fairly sizable investment.
And it says, selling a used Chip Kelly, not working. And it reads, we are selling a used Chip Kelly in broken condition. This antique might still have some value as a fun Christmas present for your ailing, desperate, and gullible football program. It comes preloaded with 100 snarky quotes like, the wishbone was successful too, and we're just trying to have a good Monday. However, after nearly 2 years, we haven't gotten the most important parts of it to work. Its previous owners were also dissatisfied with it, and we thought it'd need a good home and some TLC. It turns out that it's broken beyond repair, so we are selling as is and for parts only. We imagine you can find some workable pieces in here if you're looking for 5 tight end play designs and are in need of tearing down your roster to its bones. While it is not functional, it could make a nice set piece. Putting this one on your coffee table for decoration is sure to spark memories of elite offenses and fun play calls. Do note, though, that although it comes with preloaded quotes, its functionality is so broken that it will refuse to directly answer any of your questions and will almost certainly get dangerously close to insulting you if you try. We are selling this for $9 million or best offer. We recognize this is a steep price, but memories and status are priceless, even if functionality is not.
Ah, it's mean, but it's funny.
Terrible. Terrible. Look. But true.
It is 100% true. We all wondered if the game had changed and how successful Chip was going to be at UCLA. I mean, we all had those questions, but nobody, and I mean nobody, saw this coming. They are this bad. They are the worst team in the Pac-12.
Now, I know you stick with him because, well, you got to give him time.
Sure.
Do you have any faith?
And they're very young. I mean, it's loaded with freshmen and sophomores.
Do you have faith?
No. No, I don't. But I mean, if you're UCLA, you're a cheap program. He's a lot to buy out. To me, you ride this out for another year or two and see that, because it is a very young team. There's been some injuries there. But if I'm a UCLA fan right now, or if I'm, you know, the management, upper people making these decisions, I don't have a lot of faith that he gets this thing turned around, because there's not really signs of life, minus that the one quarter and a half at Washington State. What he's known for is offensive football, and they are abysmal. They were terrible last year. They're terrible this year. They don't score on anyone minus Washington State.
Is there a a conversation to be had about the just UCLA in general, and that it's really, really, really hard to win there? In other words, look, this is on Chip Kelly, and it's early. I mean, give him time, but isn't that program like that? We think of that as like way better program than it is.
Yes.
It's just not.
For as bad as it's been, it does not get the reputation. But at the same time, I'll scream it from the mountaintop. You should be able to win there. Jim Mora won there. Jim Mora won 9 games, I think, 3 years in a row. So I'm not saying that that's the end all to be all, but you've proven with a decent, not a great coach in Jim Mora, by the way, that you can win 9 games and you can win the Pac-12 South, especially in a year like this. There's no excuse for being this bad. I'm not expecting Chip Kelly to run roughshod over everyone. And I said that going into this. The game has changed. I'm not going to say it was a gimmick, but he had a certain element to his game that caught everyone off guard. And when he played teams that were physically better than he was a 500 or less coach. And by the way, the thing that made him so good is now commonplace. So you knew that there was going to be some bumps in the road. But I also thought he was a very, very smart football coach that would adapt. And I just never saw the program falling to these depths. And it's not just that they lose, it's the way they lose. They're not coached well. They're not disciplined. They don't play tough. They're not resilient, minus, again, that quarter and a half at Washington State, which, for the love of God, I still can't believe that happened.
I'm looking at their coaching history. They haven't had a lot of losing coaches at all.
No, it's not a bad program.
You go back, these names won't mean anything to you, but William Spalding, Red Sanders was like 66-19. And then you get into Dick Vermeil won there. Tommy Prothro won there. Pepper Rogers won there. Again, winning record.
Yeah, we need more guys, by the way, named Pepper in sports. Pepper Rop. I'll tell you what, I would commit to go play for Pepper Rop.
I would too.
Yeah, coaching at Linfield or something. Good old Pepper Rop. Developed the wing tee back in the day.
And then Terry Donahue was great there. Uh-huh. He was there for a long time. And then after that, because you all probably, now we get to more, you know, memorable times, at least for us. Bob Toledo, mm-hmm. He won 49-32. Carl Durrell had a winning record, even though you don't probably think too fondly of his time there. He won 35-27.
Neuheisel was bad.
Rick Neuheisel did not win. He was 21-28.
Yeah.
A losing record. And then Jim Mora went 46-30.
Yeah, and Mora came in and they were, Mora was good.
So of all their coaches that coached for any significant amount of time, they only had, let's see, 1, 2, 3 out of, looks like about 15 that had losing records.
And, you know, Dave Bartu will tell you this, that UCLA is a top 3 or 4 recruiter every year. So I know that some people don't buy into the recruiting rankings, and I get they can be subjective, but you can't say that UCLA doesn't have talent. UCLA has put guys in the NFL. You can recruit to UCLA. There is no excuse for being this bad. There isn't.
Hey, in other shamed coaching news, our boy Art Briles is back at it. Yeah. You know, he's a high school coach in Texas now.
Yeah, and everyone apparently thinks that that's a good idea because he did such a bang-up job with the college kids. Let's bring him to younger, more impressionable children.
It's kind of off the chain.
Well, yeah, if you don't remember Art Briles, he was the coach at Baylor, and, of course, his team raped half the state of Texas.
Yeah.
But he did lose his job, and he never got another one, but they did welcome him because he started as a high school coach in Texas.
Remember, he got banned from the Canadian Football League, too, which was, you know, that was fun.
Well, they toyed with the idea of hiring him, and then the backlash came, and then like, okay, yeah, no, we're not hiring him.
Yeah.
So he's with the Mount Vernon Tigers, and basically he is playing ineligible players. He's back in the news because, well, a report from the Dallas Morning News says that he had... Hold on here. I'll find it for you guys. Sports talk.
Searching.
Bro.
Mike.
Damn it.
What?
God!
How about that weather?
By the way, Art Briles dyed his hair.
It's beautiful outside.
You know, it is beautiful outside.
He's bald up top, but he has side hair and back hair, and he dyed it.
Oh, that's a tough look.
But he has a gray goatee, so he looks very odd.
Yeah, my offensive line coach in college did that. He was bald but did the big swoop over, and he would dye his hair. Problem with it is that when you dye your hair like that, it like stains like the top of your head, and so he'd have these weird...
I think it looks trashy.
It was horrific. And then when it would rain, it would like leak down his face. It was quite the look.
Okay, it says Mount Vernon's football team, coached by former Baylor head coach Art Briles, faces the possibility of forfeiting up to 5 games after a district executive committee ruled unanimously 2 players were ineligible. The 6-0 vote, confirmed by 2 superintendents, reverses a decision made 3 weeks ago that upheld the players' eligibility. The players, Brock and Cameron Neller, were ruled to have moved into the district for athletic purposes. Briles and Mount Vernon received a public reprimand, but no forfeitures were handed down by the committee.
So old Art is out there recruiting players. Because who doesn't want to send their boys to learn under the power teat of Art Briles?
Well, look, I mean, I hate Art Briles, and I think he's a scumbag. And he's especially bad because he hides behind the whole
Jesus
Christian thing. But, I mean, come on. This is high school football in Texas. Don't they all do this? This is what they do.
Yeah.
They do this everywhere.
They do that everywhere.
Like,
they do it here, too. I mean.
Right.
Oregon, we just hide behind the whole private thing. No. He's Catholic all of a sudden. It's fine. Yeah, he loves Jesus. He's going to go over there.
So they're not even going to forfeit games. But it's just like, you know, if you're Art Briles, you unfortunately got to keep your nose clean.
Do you really, though? It is Texas football. Like, Art oversaw a program that raped 52 women, and Mount Vernon had no problem hiring him. I'm pretty sure that Art Briles could go and take a steamer in the middle of the superintendent's desk and someone would call it Banksy performance art and he would be just fine.
Wow.
They'd bronze it and stick it in a glass case somewhere and be like, well, that Art Briles, well, he sure is great.
Well, there's your latest on Art Briles. Hey, at least he's coaching.
Yeah.
And hey, Jesus.
Well, isn't Dave Bliss, he's running who, by the way, covered up, murder. At the Baylor basketball program. He's running a school down in Texas as well. Except I don't think he's the coach. I think he's like the dean of students. So he's even higher up than that. So basically in Texas, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Leader of men.
As long as you claim Jesus and you were good in college, you've got a spot in high school sports.
All right, coming up next, it is our pro football pick'em, our picks in the NFL against the spread, next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.